one for me has been able to look back over my life. You know, the Lord gives us 70 years. Well, thank God he gave me 70 years. And as I look back over my life and the events that happened to me from very young, I see a pattern. And that pattern was the hand of the Lord in my life to do what I'm doing today. And I want to talk to you about that. I had a very poor self-esteem. I really struggled under it. I can't explain why. I guess it was just some of the certain things that happened to me when I was young. And as I grew up, I was very heavy. I was a big girl, very big girl. And I had that particular thing that drug me down. But there were other things in my life that I really had a very poor self-esteem. I went to a high school where on the other side of the road, up when I say road, I mean on the other side of the area, they were pretty wealthy. And they also were, most of them, many of them Jews, and many of them were very, very smart. In fact, one of my classmates, she made one of the gases for the space program. They were very smart. I lived on the West End. And that the West End, we were just blue-collar workers. Our people worked in jobs, you know. And we didn't have a great amount of money. And that certain thing that comes with living on the other side of the track, that it's built into you, that self-assurance many times. But anyhow, whatever it was, I did. I had a very, very low self-opinion of myself. But I found out that as I walked with Christ, that my opinion of myself began to take a back seat. And I began to recognize my worth in his eyes. And that's what I want to talk a little bit to you about today, is identifying in Christ. You see, whether we want to think this or not, there is a difference between an elevated ego. That's those people who really think they're great. And they let you know they're great. And they pretty well flaunt it around. That's their ego. It's inflated. And then we see that, and a simplified understanding. Let's put it this way. Here are those over here that have this exalted self approval. They have they're egotistical. They do it in themselves. Here we are over here, most of us. And we're looking at ourselves. You know, that's why I think when people get around 40, they begin to take a lot of introspective. What have I done with my life? Where have I gone with it? Who have I really helped? What have I really done? You know, that type of introspection goes along with a sense that there are some areas that you don't really feel you've done well, and there are some areas in us that we don't like. So as we look at these things, we need to get a different perspective as children of God. And that perspective, if you look at the first part, that is, it's a simple understanding of your significance. That means of your reality, of you as something that's worthwhile. Your significance, but it's based on God-given talents and gifts and values. Now, that's the thing I noticed in my life. When I was very young, oh, I must have been 7, 8, 9, I used to do a lot of preaching to myself, to my friends. My mother said one time I preached 1 hour on Noah. And I was just a child, just a young person coming up. My cousins and I, we used to have church. I would do the preaching. My other cousin would play the piano. I had one cousin that would take the offering. And do you know that when we grew up, I preached, she played the piano, and he was an usher. So we trained very, very young in what we were doing for the Lord. But anyhow, I'm trying to say that these gifts and values that he has given to us, he knew what he was doing. God knew. And, you know, this is the thing that you and I have to stop and realize the values that are in us because God made us. I know it's he made us in the biological sense. It just goes on and on. But there are those things that he has made in man and that he brings out in each of us, whether it's through DNA, whether it's through genes, or whether it's through the fact that he gives them to us as we are developing. But anyhow, he really knew what he was doing when he created you. That's why he said he has a path for each one of us. I believe that. As I look back over my life, and because I became was in the church very early and a Christian very early, I see how the path that he began pushing me on little by little. I was very young, and I felt that God wanted me to be a missionary. And every time, and somebody will say to me, how were you called? I don't know how it was called. I just knew. And we used to have a lot of missionaries come to our church. And when they would come, I'd sit on that front seat and I would just drink in everything that they were talking about. And they would sing a song. It was an older song about if I should die upon the mission fields. Or, you know, I sat there, Lord, that's where I want to die. I want to die on the mission fields. And, you know, as I saw God move in my life, I recognized that I didn't understand it. God gave me some talents. Let me tell you one talent he gave me, which was brought on by my mother. I don't know if it was my mother or what, but anyhow, we had street meetings. That's a group of people that go on a corner and you have a service. We had street meetings on one corner in our area, a very busy corner, on our area for 19 years. And my mother, she was, of course, in charge of it. One time a doctor said to her, you've got the largest lungs I've ever seen. And that was because on the street corner, she hardly needed a loudspeaker. She could really speak. But anyway, as I was growing up and I worked in the street meetings, I would be there. I would help sing. Then when I began to speak more often, I would go to the street meeting and I would be standing there. My mother would say, turn to me and say, will you preach tonight? And I said, well, okay. You know, I don't say no to my mother much. and I would say, okay. And then my mother would turn back and she would say, my daughter's going to speak to you at this time. Now she told me then, and here it is. And through the years, somehow, I don't know how, but God would either give me a subject. I feel like, and I hope he was speaking through me, but I began to do this very often, just on the spur of the moment, like the quick and the dead. But it trained me. I remember one time I guess it's 20 years now, maybe not that much, maybe. I was in Taiwan, and they took us to they wanted us to have a prison service. And so I went in, and when the man saw I was a woman, I don't think he was very happy. And so when it came time, when we went in, he said, now you only have 5 minutes, you know. So I guess he thought I couldn't do much damage in 5 minutes. Well, then when I got up, I began to preach 5 minutes. And I began to speak about, you think those people out there are free? They're not free. They're no freer than you. But you need, you know, I went on to talk about freedom in Jesus. And when I got finished, he came to me and said, how did you do that? Something like that, he said to me. Because God trained me through my mother, and until it became something that when I had to do it, if there wasn't anybody, if I had to do it, I did it. And as I look back at my life, my mother was a very great force in my life. And my mother always didn't want me to say no to anybody. If God wants you to speak, if you're to do something, you do it. So that's what I did. And I was telling Sue Lynn today, I learn by people saying, will you do this? Will you teach this class? When I was 12, I was teaching a class. And so I learned by doing. And I became really a children's worker for a long time. And even when I was in Taiwan for 20 years, I worked with the children. So you see, God leads us along. And I think of it, the many things that he brought into my life that helped me that taught me, that showed me, because he made a path for me. And whenever we're willing to take God's path, he is going to give us the abilities that we need. And the more we allow ourselves to do for God, the more he will do with us. And that is one of the secrets. So actually, when you stop to think about the values, the gifts that you have, the abilities that you have, it wasn't given to you just to make money. It wasn't given to you just to make a life. It was given to you to glorify God. And so as we live our life, that's the real Christian life. It's not whether you're a preacher or a singer. It's whether in my life I'm allowing him to work through me, through the gifts that he has given me. God knows exactly what he was doing when he created you. He gave you everything you need to do what he wanted you to do. There's some things that I would love to have, that I wish to have. Soul winning is very difficult for me. My mother could talk to anybody. My mother didn't think the President of the United States was any better than her, as far as in her spiritual life. And so my mother was very, and I used to think, oh, if I could only do that. You know, and I look at others and I think, if only I, but I've never been able. But yet there's times when God has led me to a person and my heart was just open and just came out. But otherwise, and so there are areas in my life that I am not capable of doing. I am not an administrator. And I have been in leadership just about all my life. But God always sent me someone who could help me to do it. Every time. If I showed you my life, that's why I'm saying when we give our life to Jesus, in the pathway that he has made for us, and he has given and created in us the abilities that we will need to do it. So we need to stop focusing on what we can't do. I can't do it. I can't do it. You'd be surprised if you would step out sometime to find out the talents and the gifts that you have. You didn't know it. And sometimes we just focus on that, on what we can't do. I'm not good at this. I'm not good at that. God didn't make us to be good at everything. He made us to be good at that which he has made us for. So what we need to do in our Christian life is take inventory. Look at yourself. Take inventory of your gifts. Some of them are very, what should I say, hidden until they're revealed. You know, there's some people that just like to give little things to people, never thinking about it, when actually that may be their gift of helps, their gifts of showing God's love. I think many a cake has been an open door for people to be able to give the gospel. They have that ability to do this. I don't. Now, I know some that are very hospitable. They can have you in their house. Like our brother was saying up there, they can invite you to dinner. They can just be so hospitable. And, you know, it just brings that family into the Lord. I am not the hostess with the mostess. I can cook for myself, but I don't like to cook. I don't have that ability to see everything that people need. And I certainly don't have the ability to get all the things off of the fire and on the table at the same time. I just admire hostesses, those who have abilities like that. I have a friend in North Carolina, and she has cooked for so many evangelists, missionaries, school choirs, school bands. Her husband was working in the business. Every Christmas, she would have a great big party. She, I tell you, Bonnie is one of the greatest hostesses I've ever seen. She loved it. It was so easy for her to cook. It was so easy for her to think of doing this and doing that. And she has used that over these years that I have known her to be a blessing to many, many people. So you see, it's not just singing or preaching. There are abilities in us that God gives us. You know, sometimes you might want to, there are those who are doctors. And actually, because God has led them that way, some of them have become very outstanding doctors, doing some things that God has given them. I have a friend that was a scientist. I probably told you about this. Lewis was in Taiwan, and he worked in a scientific area there. And they had something they knew that would heal, that would really help breast cancer. But it was a plant that took so long to grow that it really wasn't what would be helpful. Take too long. And so what he did, he said, I'll take that project. He took that project to make a synthetic type that would do the same thing. And you know, as he prayed and as he worked and as he prayed, God gave him the ability to do that. You see, there are things in our lives that are gifts that God has given us that he wants us to use in the pathway that he's put. So embrace these things. And embrace these things and maximize them until God will, oh, he has so much he wants to do for God's power, his grace. I was reading a scripture yesterday and I didn't even get past it. I was so thrilled. It talked about the God of all hope. That means the one who knows that beyond is going to happen. And the God of all hope through Jesus Christ. We have that hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not in ourselves, but through the power of the blessed Holy Spirit. And so we have to recognize our values. But sometimes what hinders us, and that's what counseling, at least to me, Christian counseling is about. That's why I always try to understand how to give it out that way. What Christian counseling is those things which hinder us through our emotions, our thinking patterns, or whatever, from being what God wants us to be. And so that's what we're thinking about. Now, one of the most harmful things, innocent we think, because we do it all the time, that is our thinking patterns, our thought patterns. Sometimes we have harmful thought patterns. I have a friend, and she so longed and so wanted to be able to be in another town that she wanted to be in. And so she just always, you know, looked, it was always hard here. She always had some complaints, some things. But now she was going to get to live in that town she wanted to. And before she ever even knew altogether, before she was really there, she began to think about, what if this? What I can't do. We got to do. All her thought pattern was that kind of pattern of thought that was negative. And sometimes you and I have thought patterns that are negative thought patterns. They lead you to believe lies about your worth. And I'm going to be talking about that if we have time. Lies about what you're worth, negative patterns. I can't do this. We can't do that. I don't know why. You know, it's a constant thing that really pushes you down and steals what? The joy of knowing Jesus, because you're pressing yourself down. He said he wants us to have joy unspeakable that's full of glory. And you're not going to have any joy when you have these negative thought patterns. This is something we have to use. How can we do the difference? We begin to get some new patterns, new thought patterns. I've had to get some new thought patterns about some things. And so you probably and will have to maybe change those. What we do is, here I am, a negative person, a complaining person, a person that's always criticizing, a judgmental person. You know, those are all bad thought patterns. There's some of us, I know because I went through it, that could hardly look at anything that we weren't going to judge it. Well, you know, that tenor this morning was off. And we always seem to have that judgmental type of spirit. But all of these different kinds of thinking patterns is what keeps us from doing what God really wants us to do. And he wants us to learn how to overcome them. Now, how do we begin? Each negative thought should be countered with God's assessment of your value. In other words, if I say that I'm critical of this person, now your value should be better than that. You need to recognize when I'm critical of that person, I'm judging them. And I have this thought pattern that always, every time I see something, I'm ready to criticize it. Look at it through God's values. He doesn't want us to criticize. He wants us to take every thought. He says in Scripture, let's look at 2 Corinthians 10:5. Does anyone have their Bible that can read it for us? 2 Corinthians 10:5. It's a wonderful Scripture that maybe people don't understand. But this is a basic thing that can help us out of our very bad thought patterns. Yeah, 10:5. That's right. What we do is we take those thoughts into captivity. That means we break them. We are taking them. They're not free anymore. So let's say that you are a critical person or that you are a negative person. If we're going to say to God, Lord, in my, your value, you made me different than this. You don't want this. So, Lord, help me. Now, this is one of the secrets. We cannot do it ourselves. I want to tell you that it's very difficult to do it yourself. Maybe some people can, but it's not easy. And it's not in the spirit that God would want us to do it. So we need to go to him and say, now, Lord, I have a lot of negative thoughts, and I need your help. Now, we would like God to zap us, zoom, and we have no more negative thoughts. Isn't that wonderful? But that's not the way he does it. He said, okay, if I could sort of bring it down to our talk, okay, now, how are you going to begin? Well, now, Lord, maybe you better stop all the negative thoughts. No, he said, those are the thoughts that you made a pattern of, and you've got to do something else. Well, what are we going to do, Lord? What's the best way to do it? Well, I think you take that negative thought, bring it into captivity, stop it. Stop it. Have you ever stopped a thought? I have many of them. Do you know that Satan's way of getting into our heart is through our mind? And so you and I have to recognize that many thoughts that we have are not ours. Many thoughts that come to us is directed by the darts of Satan. There are times I've thought things that amaze me. And I've had to say, Lord, I don't mean to think that. You know, I've often had to say, Lord, forgive me. I didn't mean to think that. Because Satan is after us through the mind. And it is a major way that he brings us down many times. So what we need to do is to be able to take that thought, take it where it is and throw it out. Forget it. Get rid of it. You see, how do you do it? Think about something else. Now, what is a better way to do it? Think about something positive. I do that all. I begin to look at somebody. Okay, today, now don't tell anybody, but I'm sitting in church listening, and I like music, and I heard something that just wasn't right. It wasn't on key. And as I sat there, something came up in me and said, well, you know, and then I had to stop. Well, you know, Schwartz, that's all right. I'm not going to judge that person. And I took that little thought and I put it in captivity and I then began to put it in something else. You said, oh, that's so simple. No, it's those kind of thoughts that steal our joy. It's those kind of thoughts that keep us from growing for Jesus. And when he sees, we begin to take these thoughts, squash them, forget about them, and turn to something else. Is the way to have victory. The mind is terribly powerful, tremendously powerful. There is a chemical disorder called OCD, and you can become so, what shall I say? You become so at one thing that you do it all the time, and I can't explain it, but your mind is always going, and it's something that you are excessive. Everything's excessive, and everything is like a compulsion to you, and people suffer from that terribly. Do you know, besides the medicine they give you, what else the therapy they tell you? They say that when you begin to get like that, get out your notebook of new words and begin to memorize a vocabulary list. That's right. Which means it takes your thoughts and takes that pressure and that thing that drives you and it puts it in another area. That's how powerful our mind is. And if we're going to be children of God, this is something that we need to understand. So counter every negative thought with the truth of God revealed in His Word. It might be, that's why people said it's good to memorize Scripture. Because when you do, when these thoughts come, a Scripture that you memorize can come right in and take that thought out and lift up your heart. So that's what we need to do. And then we have to be patient in doing this, because the Lord's working on us. We're working ourselves, trying very hard to keep up with Him. And so it takes time to do all of these things. But it's when we begin, and as we keep at it, you'll find out that after a while you'll look and think, my, what a change. I've done that often in my life. I've often said, you know, people get happy when they're in church singing and clapping their hands and going. I said, when I get happy is when I look back and see what I once was and how far the Lord has brought me. That just thrills my heart, and He can do it. And that's why we need to study the Word. If you're a negative person, begin to look in the Bible for positive things. If you're a complaining person, look in there to find out more about complaining and what it does to you and how God can help you. And then I want to go on to tell you, one of the things that keeps us back very, very much in our spiritual life of growing, and that is the lies we tell ourselves. Now, this may be something that you say, lies that I tell myself. See, most of our unhappiness and our emotional struggles are caused by these lies that we tell ourselves. I want to go over some of these. I think this is the way that really, really, really helps us to see it. If you give me just a minute. Okay. Now, here are some of the lies that we tell ourselves. I must be perfect. We have a young girl that is very good, and we would like her to do some service for the Lord. But she says, I can't do it unless I can do it well. I guess if I had gone through that, I never would have done anything. I'm a sanguine. And a sanguine is get it done and get it done quick. I never was a perfectionist. I just love to see it, but I don't have it. I can't be perfect. No one's perfect. I saw Jennifer's little boy. He's what, 20 months old? And he had these wipes, these packages of wipes that have children know what they are. So he took one and he put it in a row. And he took another one and he put that next to it. And then he took his hands and straightened it. And then he put another one, and he took his hands this way and straightened it, all the way down to the fifth one, and he had them all in a nice straight row, 20 months old. And I thought, oh, already, I think now, already everything has to be perfect. But the fact is that life is not that way. And when they're told by their parents, their grandparents, their teachers, their cousins and aunts and uncles, when they're told by people that you have to be perfect, you must be number one. You must be number one. You must be, and many times, of course, it's born in us. It's part of our tendencies. And so we have to understand, because it brings out misery. And it brings heartache. Someone was telling about their boy in college, and he came across one of his subjects that was very difficult. He was very bright. He always wanted to get A's. You know, always A's, A's. He wanted that. But he had this subject, and he worked, and he worked, and he worked, and he got a D. That broke his heart. She said he would go in his room, and he would get mad and beat things and hit things and so forth because he didn't get. But she said then he had to take it again. And the next time he took it, he got an E. Oh, this poor boy. So he took it again. So the next time he took it, it was a B minus, and he came home so happy. He was so thrilled that he got a B minus. His mother was praying for him during this time, and she said, I was saying, Lord, why he's having such a hard time with this? He's your boy. And she said, the Lord spoke to him. She said, I'm trying to teach him how to live in life. That's right, you know. He has learned now to be happy with something that he worked very hard for. He lost, he missed, but he kept on until he got a B minus. You see, this is one of the things that people will tell people. Either it's in their system or it's just something that parents sometimes, I expect you to be first. I expect this of you. I expect that of you. Expectation has ruined many people. I must have everybody's love and approval. I can't stand it when somebody doesn't seem to like me. It does something. It makes me feel, what shall I say, it makes me feel a little empty or hurt or something. So people feel like they have to keep up making people happy. Maybe even if your friends giving them gifts. Keep going. Whatever they ask, you do. Whatever they say, you say amen. Why? Because you feel like I must have everyone's love and approval. You can't. In fact, the Lord said in the Word, if everybody loves you, you're in trouble because you're not challenging anything. And so actually, when we drive ourselves this way, we cannot be what God wants us to be. But you've sort of been taught that way. You've been sort of, you know, after all, you know, if you want to be good in business, you have to have everybody love you. You have to have, you know, all of these things that many times have been told are really lies to us. Some have heard, and it's easier to avoid a problem than to face it. You have a mother, very nice little timid mother, and you watch her, and things come up, but you see your mother never faces it, never touches it. Same thing with maybe a father. And you learn that the easiest way is not to shake the boat, not to avoid problems. And that's what makes more and more problems and eats and causes true failure. God doesn't want that. He wants us to, when we come against things, to call upon him. Ask him to help us in these things. To go before us, to help us to understand, help us to know how to do. Another one is, I can't be happy unless everything goes my way. Ever met people like that? I want it my way or no way. Sometimes I watch documentaries. And they have a documentary of 10 young people, brilliant they're supposed to be. And they go into two groups, five here, five there, and they have these things they have to make far above me. But anyhow, each team has to make these things. And they have one boy in there that every time, if he's a leader or not the leader, he wants it to go his way. And another boy the same way. And they cause nothing but confusion and hurt in their group. When you're a person that everything has to go like I want it. I don't know if you've ever heard of Joyce Meyer. She's an evangelist or a teacher. And she said, that's the way everything had to go my way. And that's a lie. Everything does not have to go my way. In life, I learn. In life, I give. In life, I compromise at times with people so that we can keep on that level. And that's what God has wanted us to do. If as a pastor and as a missionary, I wanted everything my way, I would have been out of it. Because after a while, I don't care if they're nationals. I don't care if they don't have maybe the true mentality that others have. They know and understand. And after a while, there comes a fence up. So even in our jobs or whatever, if you're that type that feels that you can't be happy unless you have your own way. And then there's that lie that we tell ourselves that my unhappiness is somebody else's fault. I would be happy if it wasn't for my husband. He's the one that keeps me like this. I would be happy if it wasn't for my mother-in-law. Oh, she's the one. I like the little Chinese story. And I guess I'm going too much, but we'll go on to this next week because this to me is a very vital thing. This Chinese story of this girl who got married. And of course, you know, in China back years ago, you all lived together. All the families lived together in their houses. And this girl was living there, and I don't know which wife, which daughter. But she said, I couldn't stand my mother-in-law. I just couldn't take her. And she said, well, I finally got to the place. I had a friend. It was a doctor, a pharmacist type of man, maybe a Chinese doctor. And she went to him, and she said, I can't stand it any longer. Can you give me something that'll get rid of her? She's ready to poison her, okay? So the doctor said, well, I think I can. So he made up something. He said, now I want you to give her one of these each meal, okay? He said, but I want to tell you something. You better treat her good. Because if you don't treat her good, they're going to think you murdered her. So she took his advice. She went home, and every meal she gave her one, but she began to treat her very good. So when she began to treat her mother-in-law good, her mother-in-law began to treat her good. And before long, they had a friendship going. And she rushed back to him, and she said, I don't want to kill her now. She said, can you give me anything to sort of an antidote for this? Oh, he said, it won't hurt her. I've been giving her vitamins. He said, but I told you, you be good. Because you were good to her, she became good to you. You see, a lot of times, this is that we can't put other people's, our unhappiness on them. We have to learn over everything, our happiness is in God. Our joy is in the Lord. Some people have got to the place you can have it all. Some of these young people in the 30s and so forth, they have gone from college, you know, like some of these ones like with Apple and all of these different kind of things. In these different countries, very young, and these men felt like they can keep going. I can have it. I can have it. I can have it. But we can't have everything. When people think I can have it all, I can make life. No, that's a lie to us. Well, we're about down to 25 after, so I think I better stop here. But next week, I want to go over this. I don't know if you can put that folded up and put your pocket or something, but I'd like to go in depth in more because this, to me, is one of the vital things in my Christian life, is learning where I'm having my weaknesses because we don't know them. Do you ever know that? Joyce Myers once at a time was praying, Lord, please change my husband. But he never changed. And she said, Lord, please change. And the Lord spoke to her and said, it's not him that needs change. And she said, I said to the Lord, who is it then? Who is it? He had to tell her it was her. And so we have to understand many times there's things in our lives that are causing us unhappiness and emotional problems that really are things in my own life that I need God to help me. So I can go on with the values and the gifts and talents that God has given us. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, please be with our people. Help them as we work together and as we look at each ourselves and understand, Lord, you have wonderful things for your children. Please help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, go have your coffee. Thank you for coming. I really appreciate it. If I don't have anybody, they might fire me.
Oh, do you?
Okay. Really? Okay, the Lord.